This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome one and all to the Back of the Nest Preview Podcast. I'm your host Terence Ford and Albert Kearney and Sam Hesketh are in tow. And this time we're building you up to the visit of Spurs to Selhurst Park. Top of the table, Spurs. Guys, nobody expected that, did they? Hesketh, 3-1-0 wins in a row for Tottenham.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out this headset that I put on. I feel like a 70-year-old Luddite, and Albert keeps telling me to do things with my hands. Tottenham are doing very well.
That's nothing to do with your headset.
Albert, welcome to the show.
Hello. You all right?
Yeah, good. I'm drinking a Paulaner Münchener Hell beer here.
You've gone straight. I don't know what's going on. You've gone straight into beer check.
I think, yeah. Albert, that was the beer that a listener bought for you, actually, and Terence is drinking.
Oh, is that my one, is it?
Yeah, mm-mm. On your behalf.
This is not true.
That's not true.
Paulaner, they sell at M&S now. So it's not, weird plug, I guess.
What you're saying is you already drank the beer that was for me, and you've in fact had to go out and buy your own for a change.
There is one of those beers remaining that my friend Carsten sent from Germany. It's the Dunkel one, but I've still got that in the larder.
The Lewis Dunkel. By the way, nobody can force you to drink that one.
And he's gone there early, everyone. About 90 seconds into the podcast, he's gone there very early. What are we going to talk about? Hesketh, I know it's too late for you to have a beer, so I won't even go there.
Yeah, I'm drinking water. Let's just push on.
Aki Rialati, he's pushing on some dancers.
I'm sorry. I thought that was another craft beer.
No, it's just a Finnish footballer.
What would his blurb, if Aki Rialati was a craft beer, what would his poncy little blurb be that you like, Terence?
It would be, it's got a rough finish.
Finish, good.
Yeah.
Very good.
It hits your taste buds late.
Good.
And watch out, because the next morning it goes straight through you.
It's good. It's good.
I don't know what else I've got.
We've been waiting an hour to start recording this. And this is what we've come out with.
There's got to be something in there about it being blonde. I don't know. There's plenty to work with there.
Yeah. Listen, you can go away and think about it and come back next week with it. That's fine.
Yeah, but then the difference will be you'll then come back and say, well, I did the same, and here's a jingle that I recorded, and it will just be amazing.
I mean, I have got time this week. I could do that, yeah.
if you could draft in Billiam to do his jingle merchant Billiam.
Yeah.
I think that's a winner.
Get 10 times longer cooling with Colgate Plaque's mouthwash. Now, buy one, get one free.
He actually said we should be careful using that. I don't know why. It's like free advertisement for Colgate, isn't it? Other toothpastes are available, apparently.
Yep. Yeah.
So anyway, Aki realised the Finnish equivalent of Strictly Come Dancing. You've seen a video, Albert. What did you think of his moves?
Well, I'm really trying to get in a he's not Finnish, he's only 28 reference to that to that classic Anthony Niemi clip. but we'll leave that one there. Listen, let's put it this way, he's more, and this isn't a diss, but he's more graceful on the dance floor than he was on the turf, shall we say. But that's not me saying I never liked Zachary Alati's movements on the pitch. But no, I think I was mildly impressed.
Yeah, I think I tweeted him and said not many people waltzed past Aki on the football field. And he tweeted back a picture of him just laying out Milan Baros. although I think Baros had the last laugh in that game, didn't he? Didn't he dive for a penalty?
Yeah, 5-2 at Anfield.
Wasn't that the same game where, who's the other Finn?
Kolka.
Jonas Kolka did the swan dive.
That was great. The impression of Milan Baros diving.
The impression of the swan dive, yeah.
Brilliant.
I said 5-2. It was 3-2, wasn't it? Was that a late winner?
It was 3-2.
Yes, 3-2.
The 5-2 that season was at Old Trafford, was that it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. 5-2
United, yeah. Was that game? Oh,
great days.
Great days. I don't know. That if we just got started a little bit earlier that season, Simon Jordan could still own us. Who knows?
Move on. who else is in Strictly Come Dancing
in Finland?
Yeah,
well, I don't know. I'm gonna guess Jari Litmanen.
Yeah, Mikael Forsell.
Shefki Kuchi.
Oh my god,
oh, imagine
banging
just jumping. Yeah. I don't know what, he'd be very good at the dirty dancing lift. But I feel very sorry for the person that's got to lift him.
Yeah, it's like some like poor 5'5" Finnish woman who just gets flattened by Kuchi.
Taken out on a stretcher after week one.
God, a few seasons back, I saw Kuchi. I think it might have been a Palace Newcastle game or something. And I saw him at the train station. I was like, God, you wouldn't mess with him if you saw him down a dark alley. He's a big grizzly bastard.
Didn't he go to Newcastle after us? Am I imagining?
Yeah, it was definitely against a former, like a team he played both for.
Yeah,
and loads of Palace fans were harassing him at the station, basically saying, "Who did you want to win?" And he was saying Palace, to be fair to him.
Well,
and believe me, if he would have said Newcastle, no one would have questioned him.
Me too. Actually, me too.
Yeah, me too.
Away the lads.
Was it? He used to be shite, but now he's all right.
Yeah.
Walking in a Kuchi Wonderland because he scored about 4 goals in 5 games.
Yeah, and was probably a top scorer when he did it.
Yes, for like the next 2 seasons, no striker scored more than him than he did in that run of games. So probably unfair. But anyway, good luck to Aki Rialati. I think he survived the first week. I imagine he did anyway because his dance looked pretty decent by Strictly Come Dancing standards. Kept a very stiff upper body when he was rotating around the dance floor. So yeah, good luck to the man. Maybe, who knows?
Is that your technique?
What? It might have been my technique about 15 years ago. It's not. What I'm saying now, we're recording on a Tuesday this week and I do boxing on a Tuesday. So I'm feeling very stiff sitting in this chair and it's nothing to do with looking at your two boats either. So. So yeah, good luck to Aki, mate. Maybe in the next few weeks we'll try and get him on the show. Who knows? He's
too busy rehearsing, mate. Like,
yeah, but when he gets voted off,
that might bring the mood down.
Or maybe when he wins it, you know, everyone will want to talk to him, but he'll come and talk to us first
because he remembers
his roots.
Blonde.
Where's the home shirt, Hesketh? everyone's pre-ordered it. Everyone got around to liking the diagonal stripes. Everyone got on board, and now you can't fucking get hold of the thing. Where is it?
Isn't it still in quarantined in some warehouse somewhere in the other side of the world? Maybe they just put it on a very slow
boat. Is that the official line?
Well, I'm paraphrasing.
Well, I think weeks back I put it the pitch on Twitter, the picture of the boat that got stuck in the Suez Canal was stuck diagonally from side to side across it. Maybe it's on that boat.
It's just been turning very slowly. So it will be here in time for the 22-23 season, probably.
I mean, you still buy shirts and wear them, don't you?
I'm wearing some merchandise now, in fact.
Yeah, you're probably second to Ben Long in terms of wearing the club shop. Ben Long's the manager of the Crystal Palace Renf team. And also got another manager job for some sort of amateur football club this summer, so good luck to him. But for now, I buy them now and they just sort of stay in the packets. I'm buying them in sort of kids size, so sort of like late teen size, so like a medium. And then the plan is in the future just to give the kids, here you go, pick your retro shirt out of that lot.
I was going to say, I hope it's not because you're hoping to then get into them. Like, if I keep up the boxing, I could be in this.
Yeah, no. I mean, God, geez, if I do any more of those sessions, I'm going to have a six pack in a few weeks. And I'm not talking about the pouring of beer either. Yeah. So this isn't the end of my questions of where are things either. So that's where's the home shirt. Albert, where's the tickets for Spurs?
Well, that's a good question. There's an email about
potentially sending you some tickets.
Yeah, there's an email that says we will send you a ticket, but when it's not on this email. You know, it's a bit like films now. There's trailers announcing that there's a trailer coming out in a couple of days. It's just the ultimate tease.
It's going to be, I think it's going to end up being like those Russian dolls where it gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and then eventually there's an e-ticket.
Problem with those Russian dolls, they're full of themselves. Yeah. I think it's just to really, you know, it's just to get the appetite, you know, so when you finally get your ticket, you're so like, yes! And then at, you know, 2:45 on Saturday when we're on the wrong end of a 3-0, it won't be so bad because you're just glad to have been there.
You're probably just getting in to the game. After you've been queuing up in the wrong queue for half an hour.
Yeah, there was kind of like mixed messages about getting into the Brentford game, right? They said to everyone to get there early. And it took, I can't remember queuing as long as I did to get into Brentford. I went there probably 40 minutes earlier than I normally do. And it took me a while to get in, thinking like playoff days back in the day was the only times I can remember waiting this long to get in. But do you think that's probably because they told everyone to get there early, Hesketh, that I just got caught up in some sort of mad rush early doors?
Well, I got there at about 2:15. And it took me 25 minutes to get in, 30 minutes to get in. To be honest, like, I make a joke about it, but most of the people who walked past us were like, is this a line for entrance 3 or whatever? No one knew. Just join a queue. You'll get in. And by the time we got to the front, there was a guy who was sort of like 2 or 3 people ahead of me, and his ticket wouldn't scan. And they just booted him out. And that's really? My... Yeah, they were like, you have to go and speak to whoever at the top of the homes there. And he was like, yeah, but am I going to be able to come straight back in? And they were like, no, go and talk to... Well, I don't know who it was. They were telling him to
talk
to.
This is Britain, mate. Back of the line.
You're queuing, you'll bloody like it. So thankfully, mine worked. But yeah, honestly, when
well,
I got
there... Well,
it's
different things, right? The initial ticket you're supposed to hold by the reader and it's just supposed to work through some kind of...
Magic.
Bluetooth magic, yeah. But then they just basically, most people, like 70, 80% of the people in front of me were all having to open up the QR code and actually scan the QR code underneath. Mm-hmm, so, yeah, you think we'd be ahead of this. We were the first person to go, first team to go with credit cards back in the day, weren't we? Like, we've had them for a long time. You'd think we would have advanced by now. Maybe it was Simon Jordan was just the force behind that brilliant invention.
I do have to say, I got into the Sutton versus under-21s game with absolutely no problems whatsoever. But then
was that a paper ticket?
They had a bloke with a scanner, like in Tesco. Okay.
Take me back to the days like Dunwich Hamlet when they give you a raffle ticket. But touch on Sutton there. How was it? I hear Yaroslav Yak continues to cover himself in glory.
Yeah, it was shit. I really wanted the kids to be good, but it's just a case of like they're silky ball playing sort of 17, 18 year olds. And they're playing against like late 20s, bulky, semi-pro. Well, I guess they're pro now, aren't they? Basically, they just got pushed off the ball very, very easily. Yeah. So it wasn't great. Yeah. It was good to be in a terrace and it was a new ground. So there my put. And I got a lift home from my neighbour, Ken, who doesn't listen to this podcast, but thanks, Ken. They're my positives.
Well, I think that's the whole idea of it though, right? Is that these kids get some real experience playing against some real pros as opposed to being stuck in under 23 games playing against each other, which benefits us obviously in the long run. So I don't know. I'm still not sure how I feel about all this, to be honest, but there you go. But yeah, getting brushed off to the side doesn't surprise me. They're all very small lads. Like when people talk about wanting to get these in the first teams, when you actually see Omolabu up close, for example, he's fucking tiny.
Tiny, like yeah.
He's got some way to go before he can play against men. So who knows? Albert.
Yep. I like it. You said playing against men, and then you've thrown over to me.
Well, the menliest of men.
Wow.
I just pre-recording I witnessed you just summon your wife via magic and she bought you beer
like a genie. You say summon, I was waving frantically through the door whilst she was
furiously rubbing your lamp until she appeared.
Wow. Yeah, and you know, it's just love, isn't it? You know, but can you get me a beer, please? Because I'm on with the lads doing the podcast.
Lads.
Yeah.
Where and, I think Hesketh got from his missus. Why haven't you fucking started yet?
I said, can I borrow your Britney Spears headphones? And she said, what the fuck are you talking about?
I'm trying to find a Britney Spears song.
The relationship is not toxic.
Ah, see, that's where I was going. Come on, Albert. I know you've got Britney's backlog in your head. Back catalog. Backlog.
Albert, would you say that your lovely wife was a slave for you?
If I did, I'd get a slap round the chops.
Is that a Britney Spears song? Slap round the chops.
No.
B-side.
She'd, if you did that, she'd hit you, baby, one more time.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good. Does she have any other songs?
Sometimes. I think she had a song called Sometimes.
Definitely Maybe Nice, the completely different vibe.
That's Oasis.
Didn't her dad hold her hostage for about 15 years?
Still is.
I thought, yeah. Didn't he relinquish control of her recently?
No, that's not what he said to me.
I'm not losing it in a laughing fit again this week. It's just not going to happen. So, Albert, where are the Liverpool tickets?
In Liverpool. Probably, which is fine because that's where the game is. But if you want to make plans to go to Liverpool, then I guess you kind of need to know if one of those tickets is yours.
Do you reckon it'll be an MOT place like it was in Watford?
I don't think they do MOTs in Liverpool. I don't know. I think it's all Klopp's fault. Whatever's going on, it's all Klopp's fault. Now he's, you know, he was. Rumor is now he hasn't got the glasses. He was in charge of the tickets, but because he hasn't got the, doesn't wear the glasses anymore, he's mislaid them. Now he can't find them. And nobody else can help find him because every time he opens his mouth and he's had his teeth done, it's just too glaring and nobody can see to help him find them.
Wait, has Klopp had laser eye surgery?
Have you not seen Klopp recently?
No.
He's lost the glasses. His head / face, a bit like me when I had potential COVID, ironically, after getting back from Liverpool. He's definitely, I think he's had Botox. Because his face is very taut. He's kind of trimmed back the beard. He's lost the glasses.
What the fuck?
Yeah, he's gone a bit. I don't know what I don't know. He's gone a bit Hollywood is the word I would use.
What has happened? What?
Yeah. State of him.
I wouldn't recognize him if I walked past him on the street.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Well, there you go.
Weird.
He's gone all big and shiny. It's very weird. But anyway, where the tickets are, I don't know. Speak to him.
Oh my God, these pictures of him at Norwich are just scary. What is going on? Oh mate, he's lost it. Well, at least no one will fucking tell me I look like him anymore. That's one good thing to come out of that. Right, so there's no tickets, there's no home shirt. There's no nothing, basically. So get over it. Hesketh, Jack Wells Morrison, Jez Raksaki, Mark Gay, talk to me. Been doing some bits for England.
Been doing massive bits. Wells Morrison played for the under-18s, under-19s. I should probably have looked that up because I knew you were going to ask. but it does come after he said that the team he wants to score against in the Premier League is Brighton, so he can give it to their fans. So 10 marks for him.
Well, he's already done that, scoring against them in the youth team, didn't he? And he was kissing the badge and everything. I mean, just giving the captain's armband and 90 minutes every week now.
Absolutely love it. Jez came on for the under-20s with like 20 minutes to go and scored. And Mark Gay is the England under-21 captain.
Sorry, Hesketh, I need to correct you there. It's Gerhi.
And Robinson hasn't got back to me from points of view.
It's because she doesn't do it anymore.
So she's getting another list. That's it. I'm going to complain about my complaints not being seen to. It's going to be an email about an email, like Palace.
Like the club, like the ticket office.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to warn you, Anne Robinson, this email isn't a complaint, but you will be getting
you will
an email.
Be getting a complaint.
You will be getting an email complaint.
An unidentified time. Look out for it.
Yeah.
Is Anne Robinson presenting Countdown these days?
Apparently.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I saw a video with...
Mo Gilligan.
Yes, Mo Gilligan.
I saw that
and
as well.
She was on it, so I was like, is she the presenter now? Well, it looks like she is, yeah. There you go.
Well, wherever she tries to hide from me, she's getting a list of complaints. So that's the end of that.
Weird. Very weird. And they've still got that freaking far right nonce doing the numbers. What's her name?
Rachel Riley. That's her name, isn't it?
Yes. Very questionable. But she looks pretty, so I guess it's all right. Is that basically the gist of that? Anyway, move on. We'll move on. We've had a transfer window since we last spoke. Albert, where are the signings? No. we've been asked, I think it was by Paul Holden, to evaluate our transfer window. Albert, out of 10, what are you giving it?
Out of ten, I'm gonna give it an 8. Can I do halves?
Yes.
I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Okay. What would you have done better? I mean, I think that's going to be low. I think that's going to be quite low scoring.
You think? Nothing in life 10 out of 10, is it? Let's be honest. I hate to bring the mood down.
My wife is. Brownie points.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. -2.
What, you agree that Terence's wife is 10 out of 10?
I mean, we both agree that your wife's 10 out of 10, mate. Mainly because she brings you beer.
Absolutely. She brought me 2 beers. That's 5 points per beer. She's going to kill me. what were we saying? Yeah, 8.5 because nothing's 10 out of 10, but I think being greedy, and I appreciate it's being greedy, if we could have got another wide player with some experience, because I do think letting Andros go, I don't think it's going to be a decision that we come to regret, but I do think Townsend as a squad player was a decent option. So if we could have replaced him with another wide player, I'd give it a very firm 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I think Freeman said we wanted to keep Townsend, but someone of his age for 80 grand a week is just, I think we're past those days where those sort of players are going to get that sort of contract. So what about you, Heskey? 8.5, or are you going a bit higher?
I'm going higher. I'm going 9. We bought in a French player.
Fucking hell. Have you sure you not had a beer?
We've bought in a French player.
And
manager?
Yeah, and manager, yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, accurate. We have bought in a French manager. Great. 9.5.
Which is...
I think we have filled a lot of the spaces that we need to fill with good players, younger players. And I think going by the second half against West Ham, if we carry on like that and you add in players like Edouard and Elise and Will Hughes, I think everything is sort of coming together quite well at the moment.
Yeah, for me, I'm probably, 9, 9.5. I think a lot of people talked about adding a wide player, but for me, I would have liked a left back, to be honest. If Tyrick Mitchell gets injured, it's Joel Ward playing at left back, right? So, that's basically where we are at with fullbacks at the moment, unless you're bringing Hanneman from the under-23s, which is, he's someone who was released by West Ham 18 months ago. So, who knows? I've watched him play a couple of times and I think he's decent, but he's still got a long way to go before he's playing Premier League football. But, I mean, it's, to be fair to him, you could have probably said maybe the same thing about Aaron Wan-Bissaka if you saw him, 6 months before he played for the first team. So who knows? But, yeah, I would have liked something extra at left back. I think with Elise to come back, Eze to come back, and it's going to...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We definitely got sort of cover in there within 6 weeks' time. I think we'll be all right. But I know we tried to look at the guy from Sassuolo, the former Chelsea player, Boga, is that right?
Boga, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not Winston Bogard, the one who took all the money and
35 grand a week just on the bench.
Did he just fly in once a week to just sort of sit on the bench and never went to training or anything? Unreal.
It's true.
But yeah, so I think we've got, in 6 weeks' time, I think we've got a lot of cover up front and in the advanced areas. I would have liked to fall back, but very happy with the window. Edouard gives us something different up top. Very, very skillful player. Knows, gets in the box and scores goals. There's obviously a lot of very bitter Celtic fans about who is saying he's basically past it. I think you speak to more rational people, they say just kind of down tools, which isn't the greatest thing in the world, because I guess he was trying to force through a move for the last year or something like that. But I have a Glasgow Rangers supported neighbour, and he said that now he's left Celtic, he can actually talk about him honestly, as opposed to when he was at Celtic, when he would have swore to his blue in the face that he was fucking terrible. But now he's at Palace, and he takes his kids to Palace. So because obviously he's my neighbour and we live across the road from the stadium, he's he thinks he'll be a good signing for us. So different options up front. But Albert Wood, everyone seems to think under this formation it's still one up front. So is it, does he come straight in over Benteke, or is that harsh on Benteke considering how he's been in the last few months?
Yeah, it's sort of Sophie's choice, really, because I think the problem is it's harsh on Benteke, because I think he does a lot really, really well. And I think the problem with that is that what Benteke does well only looks impressive if someone else is taking the chances and scoring the goals. Look at his assist for Gallagher. You know, he's in the box and a chance falls to Gallagher and Gallagher converts it. And that's great. It's two thumbs up. But the problem is you need that to happen a lot for people to get off Christian Benteke's back and, you know, stop throwing the obvious, what you want to call it, obvious remarks. He doesn't score enough. He doesn't do enough. Blah, 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 which, you know, I disagree with. Certainly in his current form, I think he's an important part of that team. But you know, the flip side of that is a striker, you know, should be contributing goals as well. So I guess if Edouard is able to come in, do some of what Benteke does, whilst maybe adding actual goals himself to the roster, then that's like the dream scenario. But you know, it's all dependent on who's around him and what the shape is and what the tactics are. So I think in the short term, it's harsh just to drop out Benteke and put in a new player. But you know, that's potentially unfair on Edouard as well, because you know, he's not played in the Premier League before. So to be like, right, you're in, you know, the spotlight will be on him straight away. So I wouldn't be upset if Benteke certainly starts games, and if we need to go two up top, we might see both of them on the pitch at one point, which would be quite nice.
Yeah, do you see a way that maybe he looks to getting both of them on the pitch at the same time from the start, that a slight shift in formation?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I don't think it will happen immediately, because I think what we've seen against Brentford a little bit, and certainly in the second half against West Ham, has looked good. But he has shown that Vieira, I'm talking about here, he's shown that he's happy to change things up if it's not working. And I would imagine that at some point during the season, you know, it's worth deviating from a starting formation as well. And I think on paper, if you look at a strike force of Benteke and Edouard, and you have, say, Wilf and whoever, Eze, Elise wide, that's a pretty strong... It's a pretty strong attacking lineup. So, like Albert said, I think it gives him options. And I wouldn't be surprised to see two of them up front at some point during the season. I just think to start with, we'll keep on as we have been the last few games and sort of introduce Edouard in a bit more gradually, I reckon.
Okay. Before we start getting into Spurs then, because I feel like we're naturally drifting that way, let's touch on the Edouard song from Celtic. Albert, do we borrow with pride the Celtic song for Edouard and sing it, or do we go original and get our own version?
I mean, I'm gonna knock that ball back over the fence and say, have you got any original compositions that you'd like to offer up as alternatives?
No, I mean,
you can say no, it's fine. You can say you're clearly not rehearsed.
I just don't know why we'd not sing the Celtic song that they have for him, because it's fucking brilliant. It's
I'm in agreement.
It's one of the best football chants I think I've ever heard, to be honest. It's
and considering the club have like absolutely like stuck their hooks into that, and it was all part of the the unveiling and, mm-hmm. you know.
Incidentally been taken down now as a video.
Oh, has it?
So I think that the Stone Roses lawyers might have been on the phone saying, excuse
Ian
me.
Brown kicked off. another Twitter rant from Ian Brown.
Nice. But it's Benteke who you see kicks off, mate.
Oh, sorry.
But yeah, no, it's brilliant, very original. Turns out Celtic ended up in a Celtic rabbit hole of song chants, and it turns out they are quite original across the board with what they do. Really, some interesting stuff going on there.
What have they got for Joe Hart?
I don't know. He used to be good. Now he's not.
A good heart these days is hard to find.
Especially when the only one there is the goalie.
What have they got for James McCarthy?
Guys, you're putting everyone on the spot here, Albert.
He used to be shite. He's still fucking shite. Mm. Something like that.
I'm trying to think about... why is Jake the Peg in my head with the extra leg? But with fewer legs, because one of his legs is always fucking broken.
There's something there.
There's something there. I think we need a few more beers to thrash these out.
Yeah, we can workshop this. We can workshop this.
Yeah. Why are we making up Celtic songs anyway? Don't we need to be making up Palace songs? And wait, I've got it. I've got one. Amelabu. It's basically wins every time, doesn't it?
Great.
No originality.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're sticking with it then. We're taking this Edouard song from Celtic and we're going to sing it. Right, fine. Good job.
Looking forward to singing it on Saturday. Let's put it that way. I'm not going to the game, but I'm just going to hum it around the house.
It's going to be, it's not as bad as the time when I tried to push the Stefan Iverson song that I made up, which was... He's got a massive wang. He's going to score again. Which is based off of inside information that Stefan Iverson has a massive penis.
Which, a rumour that was started by, just checking my notes here, Stefan Iverson.
No, so I used to work with a guy who, his job before he started working with me was player liaison at Spurs. And
why did he get fired?
He didn't get fired. He just, the salary was crap. So he ended up having to get just leave and get a real job as opposed to just going out with footballers on their night out. But he said, yeah, at one Spurs Christmas party, Stefan Iverson, this may or may not be true, but this is what he said to me.
Can we just get the back of the net lawyers?
Yeah.
other penises are available.
Yeah. Stephen Iverson was walking around at the Spurs Christmas party with just his old boy out.
Oh.
And it not just not flopping around either, like fully out, like marching in like Spurs. And, you know, apparently it was, everyone was just amazed at how big it was. But needless to say, that song didn't get off the ground.
Well, he also didn't score again, did he?
He only scored once, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, there you go.
Preston. Massive goal as well.
Was it Preston?
It was 1-0 yeah. Preston at home. Huge goal. That was a massive 6-pointer, that was.
Huge goal. Huge goal.
Huge goal. Yes.
Massive six-pointer.
Massive head.
Anyway.
Right in at the back. Post. Yes.
Great in the box. Very effective.
I'm leaving it. Let's leave it. Let's stop. Spurs. We're playing Spurs. Who incidentally Stefan Iverson played for.
The best segue so far. Stefan Iverson's caught to yeah. playing Tottenham Spurs Hotspur. At the weekend.
Yeah, I had to penetrate deep into my plethora of segues there.
They've got a cock on their crest, so.
But only one ball.
What's bigger, the cock on top of the new Spurs stadium or carry on, Terence.
It's going to be watching over Anthony Joshua boxing there next week, just from the top of the stadium.
Very, very off-putting.
So,
it's going to get Spurs knocked out.
3-1-0 victory. I was set about you finish them off, Albert. 3-1-0 victories in a row for Spurs at the beginning of the season. No one was really expecting if Hesketh, were they? There was a lots of talk about Spurs, Kane leaving, didn't really bring much in. Nuno, fans weren't overly happy with getting him. But here they are, top of the league after three games.
Yeah, I mean, that combined with Arsenal absolutely imploding and being bottom of the league, it's probably the best start to a season Spurs fans could have hoped for. Obviously, three wins in a row without conceding a goal is pretty impressive stuff. And when you think that they've had all that Harry Kane sort of drama going on behind the scenes, it's pretty impressive, to be fair. Tottenham fans aren't the most patient bunch, are they? So I'm sure at some point in the next month they'll get on their high horse again.
Or unless they just keep on winning. I mean, they've got a pretty decent chance, I guess, on Saturday morning. Although, to be fair, Albert, we've done all right at Selhurst against them in recent times, haven't we? We had the 1-1 in the game when fans were first allowed back after lockdown. Although Vicente Guaita turned into Lev Yashin in that one and kept them all at bay. I think a couple of 1-1 draws, and then I think the one before that might have been the 2-0 in the FA Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, decent record at Selhurst. Do you think that can continue this weekend?
Well, I just keep thinking that it's good news that Son's not playing. I know he got injured on international duty and he loves a game against Palace. But then again, Dele Alli's back in the team and he doesn't mind a game at Palace, particularly at Selhurst. And we haven't got Johan Kabay to steam through him.
And Harry Kane, to be fair, doesn't like a goal against Palace.
Yeah, but you know, we'll see. Listen, it's they're top of the league. Tough. It's going to be a tough game. They're a good side. They've got Harry Kane, so anything's possible.
Do you think if we shout scab at him enough during the week outside the training ground, he'll go back on strike and then won't play against us?
Wasn't it Spurs training ground where some England fan went and let all fireworks off? Because the Italian team were staying there during the Euros.
Let's just do that then. And they spell the word.
It resulted in a loss though, didn't it? So probably things outside the Spurs training ground don't work so well. Hesketh though, it's Spurs looking at it from the outside. I mean, I've not seeking Spurs games out, to be honest, to watch them because they bore the hell out of me. Says someone who watches Palace unmentioned for the last 4 years. But 1-0 wins, not loads of chances. Looks like they're trying to be solid at the back, although how they're managing that with Eric Dier in there, I don't know. But it's all change at the back for them this week.
Yeah, so I don't know if everyone saw it. I assume most people did. It all went a bit crazy in the Brazil-Argentina game, when like 5 minutes into the game, a bunch of random like health officials ran on the pitch to stop the game because some players who had come from England had lied on their questionnaire coming into the country to say that they quarantined.
Because four Premier League footballers who are broadcast to the world every weekend. Have you been to the UK? Nah.
No. It's
no,
like...
Not me, Gov.
It's like when you fly, I don't know if they still do, but when you used to have to fill out a form to fly to America, and one of the questions was, are you a Nazi?
Oh, you've caught me out.
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry,
no.
don't look in my bag. but yeah, so it then turns out I read that Lo Celso, this new centre-half they bought from Atalanta, and Davinson Sanchez, a Colombian, all went to South America to play in these games, even though Tottenham said you're not allowed to go to South America and play these games. So all three now can't play against Palace. Now, I don't know who their starting centre-halves are usually, but they've spent
So it looks like it's been Sanchez and Dyer for the start of the season, but I'm assuming this Romero was supposed to be drafted in at some point.
Yeah, so at the very least then, there's one of their starting centre-halves that's not going to be playing. And then you would say the guy who would come in then to play instead is also not playing. So I guess Eric Dyer and that Roden guy is probably their starting centre-halves, which, you know, I don't think they're awful, but anytime you start well defensively in the way they have, I guess you don't want to change too much. So hopefully we can make the most of whatever new player comes in and sort of get a goal that way. But it will be tough regardless, because we know that Nuno's a sort of defence-minded coach.
How do you think, Albert, this Argentinian contingent at Spurs might feel about that, being told you can't go and play against Brazil, which is, you know, Argentina-Brazil is Argentina-Brazil?
Well, there's one thing you're being told you can't play against them. There's another thing being told you can't play against them whilst you're playing against them. I can imagine they were quite shocked. I mean, what an absolute debacle. It was great to watch. It was just one of the maddest things you've ever seen on a football pitch. But
what do they call the soap operas in South America?
Telenovelas.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, why didn't you could have done this in like the 3 hours prior to the match. You know, why have you waited to 5 minutes into the first half and go, oh, we're coming on here. We're going to make the situation even worse by piling loads of people who are not involved in any bubbles onto this field. Seems crazy, really. But
I think they were just doing that thing where they was like, you go and tell them. No, you go and tell them. No, I'm not telling them. You tell them.
And it's just, and they all sort of like nudge each other forward until they're all on the pitch.
Yeah.
Well, isn't one of them the Argentinian keeper, is the Villa keeper, right? Have you seen the size of him? Big guy to tell him he needs to come off, mate. Can't play. What's his name? Emilio Martinez.
Martinez,
yeah. And I love the image of Neymar and Messi just standing next to each other, like both like hands over their mouth. God knows what they're saying. But yeah, crazy really that it got to that stage. But also crazy that four players who play in the Premier League would lie about it and just think that they wouldn't be caught out. Just seems ludicrous really, but there you go. Do we have a chance, Hesketh, on the weekend? I feel like with this disruption at the back, they're not in full flow. They're not trying to, you know, Nuno's never been one to really try and like attack. But can, with Vieira's style of play, do you think Spurs might just sit there and let us try and expand on them and leave some spaces in behind?
Yeah, I think they probably will. And when you've got someone like Kane up front, it, you know, really only needs a chance or two, doesn't he, to make it count. So do I think we can get something out of the game? I mean, I think we can get a draw. I think beating them is going to be very tough. But then a draw against Tottenham, I think, is a good result anyway. So it'll be interesting to see how we start. I think if we can start well, start on the front foot, you know, carry on from the last sort of half hour or 35 minutes or so against West Ham, it'd be really interesting to see how we do against a sort of inverted commas big club. But I don't think we can really afford to start slowly again, because you don't really want Tottenham to sort of like build up in the game and get on top of you, which they're quite capable of doing.
Yeah. Albert, the dice of destiny. They predicted the 2-2 draw against West Ham very successfully. I mean, do you have a zero on that dice? Should I be saying die here, shouldn't I? For people being in the comments telling me I'm doing it wrong. So should we say six is a zero?
Depends who it's for. If a six comes up for Spurs, it's staying as a six. If it comes up for us, yeah, look, let's call it a zero. Are you asking me to predict the result?
I am. Okay. You. The die of destiny.
The die of destiny. Here we go. Oh, no.
Is it six?
No, it's not that. Four. 4-1 Palace.
4-1 Palace.
Send imagine. Me the odds.
I'll take
imagine
it.
Imagine it happens. It'll be like that fucking octopus that predicts it all the World Cup.
Paul. Paul the Octopus.
It's a good one. Leave it.
Reminds me of a party I went to remember once.
I can't remember if we were talking about Dr. Octopus off the air or on the air.
It was, I'll tell you now, it was off the air.
It definitely was off the air.
Hesketh, what's the score going to be?
2-1 Tottenham.
Well, I'm going to stick to the 1-1. It's been 1-1 the last two times we've played them. So I'll go for a 1-1. And I think that'll be, if we can get any result against them, I think a point would be fantastic. Fans would be happy. Unless, of course, it's a last minute sloppy goal we concede or something like that to make it 1-1. But no, it's definitely, I think a draw against Spurs is a good point at any point, really, to be honest, especially when you look at our recent record against them, which isn't. Hasn't been incredible. Yeah, so I think that's it. These seem to be getting longer and longer. How do we make these so long? We need to trim our chat and shit, guys.
Ask Stefan Everson.
Hey.
Hesketh wanted to say something, didn't he?
What's that?
Yes, no, so this is before we close. Sam Hesketh, there has been a collaboration between the old Crystal Palace fanzine One More Point and 5-year plan fanzine, which some would consider to be a rival podcast to this podcast. For me, I'm happy for everyone to just go and do their own thing. And, you know, I don't see them as a rival, but some might. And you've basically, after editing FYP in the past, you're now back there moonlighting.
Well, I'm bridging the gap. Let's all love each other. Let's all not Albert. Don't need to love Albert. I got a message from Chris, who's the editor of One More Point, whose book we bigged up on the pod a little while ago, which everyone should get because it's great. And he's sort of bringing back One More Point for the maybe as a one-off. I'm not sure. I probably should have asked. But well, it's coming
you've
out.
Written, you've written for it, so it probably. Is
yeah,
just
this is the very end. I'm going to take it down with me. the new issue is out for the Tottenham game. It's £2, and it's being sold at all points of the ground. I'm told Chris himself will be at the top of the Holmesdale. So I've got something in there about how we went about getting a manager in the summer, and it might not be completely factual. I'm also skint, so you can't sue me because I've got nothing. But yes, that comes out on Saturday, so if you've got a spare couple of quid, pick it up, read my thing, tell me I'm a cunt.
Read it whilst you're queuing to get into the ground.
Exactly. You'll finish it by the time you've got to the entrance.
Probably enough time to hand it back and say, I want my £2 back. This is rubbish. Who's that Hesketh guy? Well, Terence, you got anything in there? Because you wrote a blog for bloody ages, didn't you? You'd think you'd...
Well, I mean...
Be good for that.
I would self-proclaim myself the best Palace writer of the last 20 years, to be honest, and to be overlooked in such shocking fashion by this Chris bloke who... I basically believe it's a whole season to get older these days, isn't he? Doesn't he live up in Hull, City of Culture and all that? So thanks, Chris. Thanks for asking me to provide an article. I'm not bitter about it that Hesketh's just sitting there all smug with his fucking Britney Spears mic on.
We've done beer check, now we're doing bitter check.
Hey!
No, looking forward to reading it, mate, and looking forward to reading the rest of the thing that comes together. Just know that you're never coming back on this pod ever again.
Good. It's been a good run. Albert, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you very much. We are playing another game next week, I believe. The look on everyone's face. Yes. Yes, we do. We play Liverpool. Remember, where are the Liverpool tickets? So we will be back next week, normal time, in your inboxes. More general shit like this, to be honest. Let's be honest. Good stuff. Thank you very much, lads. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Until then, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.